This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. We're a part of DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio. With me today, from KFOR here in Oklahoma City, Nikki K. Nikki, what's up?
Good morning. What's going on, Andrew?
Oh, it's a gloomy day here in Oklahoma City. The weather's been cool, which is good because my air conditioner went out on Saturday night.
Wow, the weather really taking into consideration.
It is. That's right. That's God's protection over my family with the clouds. Nikki, we haven't talked in a while. First of all, I want to know how you're feeling about Kyle Singler at this very moment.
You know what? I just seeing Kyle Singler on TMZ, it made me feel, you know, it just made me smile. I hope that Thunder fans are appreciating him more and more by the day, more so for his uniqueness than maybe what he brings to the court necessarily.
I think we might just need to hear from him more.
Yes,
his off the court stuff.
I completely, because, you know, and Fred Katz talks about this too all the time, like the conversations that he has with Kyle are very, you know, entertaining and scintillating, I guess. So, like, why don't we hear more from Kyle? Give him a voice.
He does himself a disservice from, like, staying out of, like, any sort of media, anything. Because, like, you just hear the things about him, flow tanking. He's got the little baby man bun thing. You're like, man, that's a big weirdo. And if he would just maybe get out there a little bit, I think that people might like him a little bit more, which is just a sentence I never thought I would say.
I agree. And we want more tire flipping, right? Do you remember? Wasn't that like a year ago when...
Yes.
Or tire handstands or whatever it was. We never even figured out.
Did you see his Instagram post? It was probably a couple months ago. And they were playing some game where it has like this little bitty trampoline with like a ball.
And that game's so fun.
What game? What is it called?
It's something Spike, but people play it on the beach all the time. Like at my friends have it. It's a
spike ball.
I think I'm gonna literally Google mini trampoline ball game. Okay, let's see what it comes up as. Spike ball. Yeah, no, it's really fun and hard, but it's a good game.
It was not a good look for Kyle. I don't know if you caught his Instagram story on it, but it's not a good look for Kyle. He wasn't doing so hot. Okay, so moving on from Singler, is there another player? I'm interested to see if there's like an under the radar player for you this season, because obviously you have Westbrook and Paul George and Steven Adams. Who's like your under the radar favorite Thunder player?
Are we talking favorite for just their off the court contributions?
Favorite for any reason at all that you would like to use.
Oh my gosh, this is okay. Well, I'm going to go with the players we know, not necessarily. I do think Raymond Felton will be a great addition in terms of how he interacts with the media, because I do think he'll have, you know, he'll just be honest like all season long, which is going to be very nice and, you know, maybe a little bit of a lens of clarity. But like in terms of just what we can appreciate from players on the roster right now, I mean, I always get a kick out of Enes. I think that is a, you know, that's a go-to answer. But when I was listening to your guys' old pod, and I know the question was brought up like, or not old pod, sorry, from Friday when you guys were talking about like who you think would be the best dancing partner for Russ. I think Alex Abrines, like how fun would it be to see him shimmying alongside, you know, Russell? But I know that's a little off off the track, but just thinking about guys who might add a little flavor to the team.
Abrines is my answer for that. Like, he's just so fun. He's confident, and he's still, he's like 24, but he comes off as like very much like a kid, which is just great.
And I hope we hear more from him too, right? Like, because and maybe he will be given a little bit more of a voice this upcoming season. I think the team realizes what he can be for the franchise as well.
Yeah. So the Thunder have made some changes, not only to the roster, obviously they've made massive roster changes, but you can kind of see the Thunder transforming as an organization. They've been doing more like cool social media stuff. They had obviously had that big thing at the Jones. What are your thoughts on like the transformation of the Thunder organization?
I appreciate it. And I think and you guys have been saying it for a long time, like they need to get hip with it, right? You know, and it's not necessarily that they weren't like trendy. It's just that they did things a certain way and there was no reason to go, you know, add the extra being like frivolous and all that, you know, but like, I think they realize that the attraction and reputation they have, especially in a small market like Oklahoma City, they're going to need to amp it up a little bit. So I appreciate it. And even if the moves are a little bit out of character, out of step, maybe a little bit awkward, like it shows growth. And I think it can, especially like in this day where like social media carries everything so far, like it's going to help the franchise's standing, I think, in the long run.
Yes, no question. I'd like to thank Chicken Express for sponsoring today's show. The August special is trade your large combo drink in for a smoothie for free. They've got great smoothies. They have strawberry, peach, mango, and strawberry banana. It's a great complement to their chicken strips. I've had the peach. The peach is very good. I assume that the rest are very good as well. You can follow Chicken Express on Twitter at @chickene_OK. Go there for lunch or dinner. You can grab your combo meal, trade it in for a smoothie. It's a great, great value. Go check out Chicken Express today. Going back to the Paul George trade, what was your first reaction from it? I know that you had like a Victor Oladipo piece that you were doing for that night. But beyond the just like, oh my God, like this is just, how could this happen? Beyond that, what was your reaction about the Paul George trade?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, whoa, you know? And it was exciting to me. It was another impressive move by Sam Presti for me that I was just like, you know, kind of shaking your head in disbelief. And I mean, it's kind of hard to like hang a lot of, I agree with you first and foremost in that like this next season is going to be so much fun.
Yes.
But like you can't really, and I do think it makes the Thunder like, you know, a very interesting topic in the conversation of contenders in the West. Well, you know, a couple steps below Golden State, but like, you know, I just was more so impressed by Sam and what he's moving around for this team and trying to do to, you know, impress Russell Westbrook or have that win now mentality. So that to me was kind of like my initial, like just shaking my head in impressive disbelief, I guess.
Yeah. And I really like it. Like the more I think about it, I just think it was a move to just not be mediocre. Like it's just a refusal to be mediocre. Cause this Thunder team, like they, you know, Victor Oladipo could have improved some and Sabonis could become like a starting caliber power forward at some point. But I just think it's just a general refusal to just not be mediocre. And this could be great. Like they could end up re-signing both Russ and Paul George and move forward with like this really great team, or they could both leave. And then like you just reset. I just think it's just a really good opportunity for this team, because if they do have to reset, then like the timeline is pretty good because you've got like the Spurs and you have the Rockets and obviously Golden State and then whatever's going to happen with Cleveland. like you can just totally bypass those teams and become like a good team in like 5 years or something like that. So I just love the approach. I just think it's a gutsy move, but I think that it makes the most sense for where the Thunder are at.
For sure. Now, like, obviously I wasn't in Oklahoma City when the Thunder first, you know, kind of started up or came to Oklahoma City. What was your mindset as a, like a fan of that young, like of a new franchise? With, did you have expectations for how good they were going to be? Like, did what was that like when, I mean, it's not necessarily a reset, right? But like, mm-hmm. walk me through what the general feeling towards a new team in OKC was.
Yeah. Oh man. So we had had the Hornets before the Thunder, and I think everybody really enjoyed that. Like, that was just kind of a cool thing. We knew that it wasn't long-term. There were a lot of people that wanted the Thunder or wanted a local group to purchase that team because the NBA had owned it and it was up for sale. Then when the Sonics came available and we knew that Clay Bennett bought it, it was like a foregone conclusion that team was going to come here. And it was just, it was a novelty really the first couple of years, and the way you couldn't have written a better storyline for how this went, because you had this awful team, but they had Kevin Durant, and then they were able to get Westbrook and Serge Ibaka the next year, and then draft James Harden the next year, and then bang, you're a 50-win team.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't happen. I think that there was just so much excitement, and it was just building, and it was like, oh, we have an NBA team. Cool. I'm going to buy tickets because it's just fun. Let's go watch Kobe play, or let's go watch LeBron, or let's... I mean, it was just kind of a cool thing. But then when they became like a legitimate NBA squad, it was just, I mean, it was crazy. It happened in 3 years. Yeah. They won 50 games and took the Lakers to 6 games. And then it was all up from, I mean, it was, this is just unprecedented, because like you look at teams like most teams are like, what happens to the Bobcats? Where like you draft a Mecca Okafor and you're like, oh man, we really suck. And there's no hope of like ever being good. And like, that's usually what happens. And it takes a long time for a franchise to get their footing, but they had a great GM in Sam Presti who really knew what he was doing. And they ended up drafting one of the best players of all time 3 years in a row. Like, they drafted 3 Hall of Famers in a row. I don't know what team has ever done that. So, I mean, it was just, it's like a storybook deal. And obviously there were some bad things that happened with injuries and then Durant leaving and everything. But overall, like, as a Thunder fan, like, we've been a very spoiled fan base, and now like getting Paul George, it's like, oh well, yeah, of course, like, we should have all the best players here in OKC. It's been an interesting ride.
It's interesting to hear. I appreciate that, like, your perspective on how, you know, not necessarily lucky, but like how good of a ride it's been. Or started out as, because like as a Lakers fan, you know, it feels like this reset button has been held down for a little bit longer than you know, Lakers fans. I know that the excitement surrounding the franchise now, like, is something promising and it's fun. Where, you know, and you know, quote unquote worst case scenario for Oklahoma City, the reset button is pressed after this, you know, what should be an exciting season in OKC. But like, with the reset, people can also look forward to maybe a little bit of excitement and relevance around a team that way as well.
Yeah, for sure. The Lakers and the Thunder are now linked, Nikki K, because of a guy named Paul George, who said, his agent came out and said, you know what, don't trade for him. Just don't do it.
He's going to LA.
He's going to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, what do you think it would take for him to stay in OKC? Because some people are just like, you know what, go ahead and pencil, you know, Paul George's contract in for 2018-19 Lakers. Where do you stand on all that?
It's so funny because it does seem like from the national perspective, everyone just kind of has him pegged going to LA. But from being in Oklahoma City, hearing him talk about wanting to win and that being the most important deal, I think I agree with what's been said on your podcast before. A trip to the Western Conference Finals, a competitive run with Golden State, I think that that's a very compelling argument for Paul George to stay in Oklahoma City with it. should him and Russell Westbrook be, you know, cohesive together. So I don't think it's a done deal. And I, you know, my dad's like the biggest diehard Lakers guy. And I was like, Dad, I just hope this franchise isn't counting their eggs before they hatch, because if that's, I can't even, hopefully that's the saying, eggs before they hatch.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Keep going. You're good.
Okay, I was like chickens before they hatch. I don't know where I'm going, but yeah, because I don't think it's as certain as people might peg it, especially on the West Coast. I mean, I do think a lot of Lakers fans are like, oh yeah, Paul George in Oklahoma City. And then maybe LeBron. Like, LeBron's their question mark. But I think there should be question marks over everyone at this point. So
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting time to be a Lakers fan, because they've got, you know, we're also, I need to know where you stand on Lonzo Ball, because I think that like the hype around Ball is just a little out of control. I think he had a good summer league. He's really fun. I think he's a great passer. I think that people are going to figure out how to guard him pretty quick, especially with his the way he shoots. But I think he's going to be good. But I think that he's a little inflated at this point.
Andrew, well, first and foremost, you have to understand you're talking to a UCLA alum. All right.
Oh, so yeah. I forgot about that aspect.
Yeah. I'm all aboard the Ball train. But that being said, I do agree with you. Like, the hype around Summer League, I mean, well, you forget he was Summer League MVP, right? Like, he is the man. No, I'm just kidding. But like, yeah, he's going to have to, learn how to adjust to the NBA. Unfortunately, it won't be a Las Vegas situation throughout the season, but, I think him and even like, I think LeVar's taking it a little bit too far recently. It's kind of like, all right, enough is enough. But the franchise needed that kind of spike in terms of personality. Mm-hmm. So with Lonzo on the court, we'll see what happens. I love watching his passes. I love the pace and space style of play they want to play. We'll see how that actually translates during the season. But no, I think it's going to be fun. And I mean, LeVar said they're going to the playoffs, so they're going to go to the playoffs, right?
Of like, course.
That's the
LeVar just wills prophet. Things to happen.
Yeah. But no, personally, as the fan, and I know as media, I'm not supposed to be a fan, but I am. And like, I want to see them do well. And here's a question. Are Lakers ever considered a league pass team, or is it because they're the Lakers, like, they will get more attraction on national television regardless of how many wins they have?
This team has a chance to be a league pass team. Like, they're going to, like, okay. They will be super fun. I think that Julius Randle's probably a little bit underrated at this point. Like, I think that he could actually be pretty good. We'll have to see about Brandon Ingram. He had a great one game of summer league that people are like, oh, like, this is a superstar in the making. It's like, all right, man, like, this is one summer league game, does not make anybody a superstar. But I think he's going to be good. I love Larry Nance. Larry Nance is so fun. I like Josh Hart. Like, I really liked their draft. Like, I think Lonzo Ball is going to be good. Josh Hart's good. Thomas Bryant is, like, at least interesting. They've got Oklahoma City Blue player Alex Caruso on their team now.
Woo!
Alex Caruso just needs to go ahead and shave his head, right?
Yes! Oh, my goodness. I was watching Summer League, and I was like, can we just help him, like, just commit, man. Just go.
Come on,
like, no, that's funny. I was actually, I'm in LA in SoCal right now. And I was getting on the elevator at LAX, and I look like to my left at the person standing next to me, and I just see a luggage tag, and it's Josh Hart. Oh. And so I just started talking to him, and you know, we're talking about where he's living in LA, and I just can't even imagine as a, you know, 22-year-old moving out to Los Angeles for the first time and kind of, you know, being thrown all in. And so but I do think he's incredibly underrated. And I liked what he did at Villanova. Yep. And he brings a pretty well-rounded game. So I think he's going to be viewed as a steal, hopefully, in the years to come, coming in at like the 30th pick.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan. So the Lakers are going to have to clear cap space to get two max guys, because I don't think that you just add Paul George to this team and they're like immediately something. No. Like, I don't know. Like, they'll be better than Indiana in like a couple of years. Like that first year, like, he'll be going from a team that's like top three, top four in the West down to a team that's like, you know, trying to make the eighth seed. And I don't think that makes sense for Paul George, especially he talks about winning. Like, it'll just, I mean, and players say stuff and they take it back later and whatever, but it just doesn't, it wouldn't make that much sense. So they're going to have to trade Luol Deng, possibly Jordan Clarkson as well. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to do like a D'Angelo Russell type deal where you're trading like great young talent in order to get rid of this contract. So what young player would you be comfortable trading with Luol Deng? Would like Julius Randle with Luol Deng? Brandon Ingram with Luol Deng, because it's going to probably have to be one of Randle, Ingram, and I don't think they'll trade Lonzo Ball. It'll probably be one of Ingram or Randle, I would guess.
Exactly. And like, Ingram had a really rough rookie go. So like, he did look good at Summer League, but then again, it's Summer League. So, you'd have to see if he's actually kind of taking it to the next level this upcoming season, and if he isn't translating as well as everyone hyped him up to be prior to his draft last season, like, then maybe he's on the block. And Randle apparently has undergone this incredible body transformation, so he's I guess committed all in, but like at this point neither of them are indispensable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I'm kind of I would guess Randle before Ingram, but then again, who knows?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, but I also really think that Randle's game fits well with what the Lakers want to do ultimately, because he's a good passer and he can be like Draymond Green-esque, like maybe like 60% of Draymond Green, because I don't think that he's got it on the defensive end. But offensively, like, he's a great ball mover. He can create his own shot and create for others. I like him. And I don't know what team is it going to be that's going to help the Lakers get two max slots. It'll be really interesting to see, like, who is going to help them try to get LeBron and Paul George. Like, who's going to do that? Orlando? Like, who's it going to be?
Exactly. Yeah. You never know. Like, you always wonder just how much of a like personal, I'm trying to commute, like, I guess what GM is going to be suckered into, like you said, helping the Lakers become the Lakers again. And you think that no one in their right mind would be so willing, but then again, we've seen Presti work some sorcery. So I don't know what's going on behind other front offices, but it never ceases to astound me when you're like, wait, what? They let that happen? And I think if Ingram doesn't become the lights out scorer that he could be or was hoped to be, then he could also be very, very much so on the trading block.
Yeah, because you have to pay Luol Deng in 2019-2020, $18.8 million to play basketball.
It's not good. Oh, my gosh. Mitch, what were you doing, man?
Okay, any other closing Lakers thoughts? I don't know how many Thunder fans want to hear about the Lakers, but I thought you could put your Lakers hat on for a minute. Okay.
It's just it's fun. It's fun to be look through the gold and purple lenses for a moment. But no, let's talk OKC.
Okay, we're gonna move on to some questions. This has become a little contentious online. Some people have been really mad about our donuts versus brownies take. Where do you lie on donuts versus brownies?
Oh, I'm donuts, like 110%.
I can't even get into the mind of somebody who would choose brownies over donuts. I can't even do it.
Who? How? Why? Yeah, no. It's like, and donuts, like, you can do it all times of the day, right?
Yes.
And brownies, you can't have a wake up and have a brownie.
That's a great point. My wife had the same point last night. She said, it's got to be donuts because it was that exact point. I'm not having a brownie for breakfast. I'm just not doing it. And
if you, if you could only have one brownie one donut for the rest of your life, what would it be? Like one type of donut?
Maple Long John. No question. Oh.
I'm 100% on the maple train as well. It's a staple.
It's my favorite. It's my go-to. I do want to someday figure out, how did donuts become a breakfast item and not a dessert? What was that process like? I have no idea.
The exclusivity of donuts to the breakfast menu will be a mystery that we should delve further into.
Maybe I'll do my own donut pod where I just figure out the history of donuts and then why people like things more than donuts, because donuts are so good.
I will listen. You have a listener in me for that one.
We've got one listener from at Chad I Must 33. He wants to know if you've tried brownie brittle. I have not.
Oh, I think it's like, I think I might have actually tried it. It's almost like the, you know how some brownies, the tops of brownies are like harder?
Yeah.
I think that's like what the concept of brownie, or it's like the part that's closest to the pan where it's like kind of crisp and not so like soft and, yeah, as some people might hate to sit here moist. The rest of the brownie, but I have tried it. It's good. It's fine. Like, it's, you know, a piece of brownie brittle.
It's no maple donut, I'll say.
Yeah,
that.
It's no maple Long John.
At TrainHard222, mm-hmm. Would you rather a Kyle Singler with Alex Sabrina's sideburns or a Kyle Singler with a Steven Adams mustache and hair?
Okay, so I've had some time to visualize this because I did get to see it on Twitter last night. And I did, like, have you visualized both, Andrew?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm all about the Singler with Adam's hair and mustache.
Yes.
How about yourself?
I am too, because it would show that, like, he has fallen off the deep end somehow. Like, something has gone terribly wrong in the life of Kyle Singler, and he might be willing to share that with the public. And I just, yes. I don't know. I just want it to happen more than the sideburns, because the sideburns would just be like, man, now he's doing something weird again, and we're not really going to hear about it. And it's just like, man, come on. Like,
yeah.
But the long hair, the big mustache, is like, oh man, like what has happened? Man, floating's not working anymore.
He is letting go. And I, like, I could just imagine that, like, kind of dirty blonde mustache. Just, yes. Oh, gosh. But, yeah, so it would be something very indicative of what you said, of maybe a quarter-life crisis.
Yeah. No, I'd love to see that. Sorry, Kyle, but that's what I would rather see.
Yes. For the people.
Yes. Let's see, from Mr. Casper 7, if both Russ and Paul George leave next season for nothing, then what?
We kind of talked about, like, what, as someone who's followed this team, how would you feel about a reset at this point? Like, 'cause this would be a little bit unique compared to what you've experienced as a Thunder fan over the past, almost decade, right?
Yeah. I obviously would not prefer it, but I think that I would prefer it over them just, you know, getting like the 7th to 9th seed for the next 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. And especially like in this day and age where it's, you know, kind of warriors, like, to have a team rebuilding or resetting and rebuilding in that time, like, it's not, you know, if you're not going to win it all, then maybe make sure you're relevant when maybe something happens in the near future or in a couple of years down the line.
Yeah. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. And Sam Presti has shown that he can be super creative with a lot of cap space and flexibility. And I think that's really where Presti has shined. And he's done really well with trades lately, but he's been kind of hit or miss with trades. And so I think that giving him the flexibility to remake a roster, to go into like a new era where basically all you have is Abrines and Steven Adams and Terrence Ferguson, and like that's really about it. Like just giving him the room to be creative and to figure out what to do moving forward, I think it would be really interesting. But I would much rather keep both of them and have a really fun team. You know, even if they're not going to win a title in the next 5 years, I think that they, I think if they can keep this team together, I think that they can come pretty close.
Okay, here's a very like hypothetical question. I'm not saying this based on anything, but it's also something I always think when I'm listening to your guys' pod and you're talking about, you know, having Presti at the helm. What if Presti isn't at the helm? Not because he's fired, not because he's really let go, but like, what if he decides, you know, I don't want to guide or I don't want to continue through this rebuild. How would you feel at that point? And who would you want in charge as a potential replacement?
Oh man, I think that would be devastating to the franchise.
The reality of no Presti would be scary.
And I think you got to go get Sam Hinkie. He's from Oklahoma, I think that he would like to do that. And he's shown that he can do a rebuild. And I think that he made some mistakes along the way with the Sixers. And I think that he's learned, but he's also just super creative when it comes to cap stuff and when it comes to picks and stockpiling assets. And he's put the Sixers in a great position. Like, this is not the work of Brian Colangelo right now. This is still the work of Sam Hinkie for the most part. Yeah. And I think that somebody like that, somebody who is going to be creative and not just like go sign like whatever veteran or whatever to, you know, basically not do what the Sacramento Kings have been doing for a decade. Like, we just need somebody who is going to value picks and value young players and try to build that way, because that's the way that you build a championship contender in Oklahoma City. You can't build a championship contender in Oklahoma City by signing veterans and by doing, you know, the things that a lot of other teams have been trying. Basically every team in the Eastern Conference outside of, you know, Boston, you can't do what they've been doing. You've got to start from scratch. You've got to try to get a superstar through the draft. And I think that Presti and Hinkie would probably do, that's what they would do.
And you know what? Like, that would be the actual literal, like you've always been an advocate that Presti before Hinkie'd, right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And that would actually be like, hey, Sam Presti started this, Hinkie's going to try and continue it. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's a very legitimate case. And I mean, I'm not saying that Presti's out, but you know, you have to wonder if this, I mean, maybe this was like him doing a grandstand on his own before it, to see if you know, like what sticks. And he's put in a lot. So
yeah, there's no question that there's a lot on the line this season. And it's going to be really intriguing and really fun. Let's do one more question from at Sean Spencer AU. After hearing the DTD name dropping in court story, it got me thinking, what is the best thing that you have got by name dropping, DTD or not? Let's start with you. Have you had any good name dropping scenarios?
Okay, can you recount the name dropping story for me? Was this on Fridays? Because I didn't get through all of it.
Yeah. So at the end, Luke talked about how he got some kind of ticket and went to court and talked to the lawyer that was in the back. And the reason that he had got the ticket was because he like ran a stop sign or made an illegal left turn or something after we had done one of our shows early in the morning. And so he was talking to him about, oh, I did this podcast, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, well, what podcast is it? And he said, well, it's Down to Dunk. And he was like, what? He's like, I listened to that show. And I guess he got a really good deal after he.
That is so cool. Yeah. I love that.
So it's awesome. And Luca never told us the story until Friday morning. We're like, why didn't you tell us that? Like, that's really awesome.
That's, yeah, you're like, that's something that should be texted to the group text immediately after it happens. Yes. Wait, you guys are heavy hitters now. Oh my.
Yes.
That's awesome. Oh shoot. Okay, name dropping. Hold on. Here, tell me one of yours, and I don't know if I can come up with one on the spot. I did not appropriately understand this question before for my pod prep, so I apologize, but I've got to believe you've got a good one.
So I think the craziest thing that has happened as a result of me doing a Thunder podcast is that the guitar player for Good Charlotte, Billy Martin, is a Thunder fan, and he listens to our pod, and he gave me and my wife tickets to come see Good Charlotte in Oklahoma City last year.
Wait, that is also really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I've actually been recognized at a grocery checkout for being on Down to Dunk. That was pretty cool. Yeah. it wasn't like, hey, are you on Channel 4? It was, hey, have you been on Down to Dunk? And I'm like, yes.
So
I love that podcast. Yeah. Out of all the recognitions, I was like, that's an association I want first and foremost. Like, casual guest appearances, maybe every 8 months on DTD.
That's
I was
right.
Like, done. You know, like, but no, that was, I think you guys like have such a bigger imprint than you might even know yourselves. But are you like ever recognized out in public for your podcast or no?
Not like in like quote unquote public, but like at the, when we were at the Jones deal, there were like a few people that came up to me like, are you Andrew? And I'm like, yeah.
You're like, what's up? You want a picture?
So like at stuff like that, where it's like very thundery, but like, I'm not recognized like when I go to the grocery store or anything like that. Like never, ever, ever.
not yet. Anna.
Not yet.
What did you, and also like, I know you've gotten to talk to a couple of other local beat writers and stuff, but what was your impression as like a fan of the franchise and as someone who's kind of followed how the Thunder's been relevant? Like what did you think of the Paul George deal? Did you feel awkward? Did you like it? What were your thoughts?
You talking about the Jones Assembly thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was great. Like I just thought it was, it's an incredible move. The place is just a really cool venue.
It's groovy, right?
It is. It's one of the coolest places in Oklahoma City now. And the fact that they recognized that right off the bat, because they had just opened, like they'd opened that week. The fact that they recognized it, the fact that they rented the place out and had an open bar and had all that. I mean, it was just like, wow, like this is really cool. And I think that Paul George would probably be like, oh, this is in Oklahoma City? Like, this is actually pretty great. I think it's a great move. I just think moving toward more stuff like that where you can actually like showcase some things, because Oklahoma City, like on the surface and the experience that most players have, is just not great. They stay the night at the Skirvin, and then they go play in the arena, which is super loud, which they're like, oh, that's cool that people cheer for them. But that's really about it. And there's not a lot of cool spots in Oklahoma City, but if you know them, then I think you'd be like, oh, well, actually, like, this place is pretty cool. Like, if you go down to the plaza, you're like, oh, like, this is Oklahoma City? Like, this is actually a pretty great place. I think that stuff like that matters, and I'm glad that the Thunder recognized that, because they're going to have to really show out for Paul George. And if he can feel like this is like a pretty, it's a decent city, it's a lot better than I thought it would be, this team is great, the organization really takes care of me, they really, you know, they're doing things they've never done before just for me, and they win, if they can go to the Western Conference Finals, or if they can, you know, take the Warriors to 6 in round 2, I think that that matters. So I think that it's a it's really good recognition on the Thunder because they would have never done this in the past. I mean, if Kevin Durant re-signed and Russ re-signed and they just moved forward with that team, I don't think that they would have been put in a position to where they would have had to like be uncomfortable and to do things differently. But I think like this different is good for the team, for the fans, for everybody. I think that it's a good change. And I don't know. I'm hoping that we'll see some changes like in game where they'll actually do some fun things rather than doing the like same stuff they've been doing for 8 years.
And I know I said this to Fred to like change the in-game music maybe. I love taking care of business. That's great. But maybe like, you know, the soundtrack mixes up a little bit. Maybe the storm chasers don't wear cargo shorts.
Maybe just no storm chasers at all. Maybe just cut them out. Let people cheer whenever good things happen. That's what I think.
Or maybe like have them keep actual like things that they can throw out in their cargo shorts. Like, you know, like you get a fidget spinner, you get a fidget spinner.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the chaos that would ensue if they were like throwing fidget spinners out?
Oh my goodness. That would be insanity. I actually might like that a little bit. Maybe a little bit. Inside my heart, I might like it. Nikki, anything else before we go?
No. Thanks so much for taking the time to have me on again. And hopefully it wasn't too Lakers oriented. But I think it's going to be such a fun season. I'm so on board with what you say about that. And sorry, I can't provide a more controversial opinion.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. As a Thunder fan, like you just have to enjoy it because there's so much noise about. Basically Paul George is gone, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's let this team play. Well, before we just go ahead and sign the Lakers deal, let this Thunder team play. Let's see how they do. Maybe they really hit it off from the beginning. Let's wait and see. Just let's enjoy this. Let's have fun. That should be the theme of this next season. Let's have fun because it's going to be so fun.
Live in the moment just enjoy. Yeah. Every game is going to be a good one. Also, quick note, can we just talk about how much of an embed reporter Lee Jenkins has become for Oklahoma City? I really appreciate him, like his perspective and openness to Oklahoma City. But I mean, once he starts talking about LeBron coming to OKC, we'll
pause it. That's a little bit too much love, Lee.
We
can recognize that pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I like Lee, but yeah, you're right. It's over the top. We're not the Thunder. The biggest free agent that they have ever gotten is Patrick Patterson, and so it's a pretty big jump from Tupac to LeBron.
You know, but hey, it all circling back to Tupac, just another piece to the excitement for this season. Yeah.
On and off the court with him, he's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nikki, thanks for coming on the show today. We can follow you on Twitter at Nikki K KFOR. We can watch you locally on Channel 4. Anything else, Nikki?
No, you plugged my Twitter handle better than I ever can. So. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Nikki.